Chapter 5. We got a cab. We got out of the area before the cops had cordoned off a perimeter. It wasn't all that hard. Chicago has a first-rate police department, but nobody can establish that big a cordon around a large area with a lot of people in the dead of night quickly or easily. They'd have to call and get people out of bed and onto the job, and pure confusion would slow everything down. By morning, I knew, word of the explosion would be all over the news. There would be reporters and theories and eyewitness interviews with people who had sort of heard something happen and seen a cloud of dust. This hadn't been a fire, like we'd seen a few times before. This had been an explosion, a deliberate act of destruction. They would be able to find out that much in the aftermath. There would be search and rescue on the scene. I closed my eyes and leaned my head on the window. Odds were good that there was no one else in the building. All the tenants were businesses. None of them were prone to operating late at night, but all of them had keys to get in when they needed to, just like I did. There could have been janitors or maintenance people there. Employees of the Red Court, sure, but they didn't know that. You don't explain to the janitorial staff how your company is a part of a sinister organization with goals of global infiltration and control. You just tell them to clean the floor. There could very well be dead people in that building who wouldn't have been there except for the fact that my office was on the fourth floor. Jesus. I felt Susan's eyes on me. None of us had spoken in front of the cabbie. Nobody spoke now until Martin said, "Here, pull over here." I looked up. The cab was pulling up to a cheap motel.
"We should stay together," Susan said.
"We can go over the disc here," Martin said. "We can't do that at his place. I need your help. He doesn't." "Go on," I said. "People," by which I meant the police, "are going to be at my place soon anyway. Easier if they only have one person to talk to." Susan exhaled firmly through her nose, then nodded. The two of them got out of the cab. Martin doled out some cash to the driver and gave him my home address. I rode home in silence. The cabbie was listening to the news on the radio. I was pretty beat, having tossed around a bunch of magic at the building. Magic can be awfully cool, but it's exhausting. What was left buzzing around me wasn't enough to screw up the radio, which was already alive with talk of the explosion. The cabbie, who looked like he was vaguely Middle Eastern in extraction, looked unhappy. I felt that. We stopped at my apartment. Martin had already paid him too much for the ride, but I duked him another 20 on top of that and gave him a serious look. "Your name is Ahmad?" It was right there on his cabbie license. He nodded hesitantly. "You have a family, Ahmad?" He just stared at me. I touched my finger to my lips in a hushing gesture. "You never saw me, okay?" He grimaced, but dipped his head in a nod. I got out of the cab, feeling a little sick. I wouldn't hurt the guy's family, but he didn't know that. And even if he did, that and the bribe together wouldn't be enough to keep him from talking to the cops if they came asking, though I suspected it would be enough to keep him from jumping up to volunteer information. Buildings were exploding. Sane people would want to keep their heads down until it was over. I watched the car drive away, put my hands in my coat pockets, and shuffled wearily home. I'd cut into my physical and psychic resources pretty hard when I turned all that energy loose on the vampires, and now I was paying the price. I'd unintentionally poured soulfire into every blast I'd leveled at them, which was why I'd had the nifty silver-white blasts of flame instead of the red-orange of standard-issue fire. I felt like falling into bed, but it wouldn't be the smart move. I debated doing it anyway. I had time to get a shower, take Mouse out for a much-needed trip outside, put on a pot of coffee, and was just finishing up cleaning the debris and trash from my leather duster with some handy-dandy leather-cleaning wipes Charity Carpenter, Molly's mother, had sent over, when there was a knock at the door. Mouse lifted his head from where he lay near me, his brown eyes wary and serious. Then his ears perked up and his tail began to wag. He got up and took a step toward the door, then looked at me. "Yeah, yeah," I said. "I'm going." I got up and opened the door. It stuck halfway. I pulled harder and got it open the rest of the way. A woman,
a little more than 5 feet tall, stood at my door, her face weary and completely free of makeup. Her hair was golden blonde, but hanging all over her face and bad need of attention from a brush and maybe a curling iron, or at least a scrunchie. She was wearing sweatpants and an old t-shirt, and her shoulder hump and retent. She stared at me for a moment, then closed her eyes and her shoulders relaxed. Murph said, "Hey," she said, her voice a feeble. I didn't give Murph soft-eyed. "Do I have coffee?" "Fresh pot," I said. "Get you some." Murph let out a moan of singing lust. "Mary. When you're kiss," I back in, sat on the couch and mouth over her and his head shamefully on app. Yawned and extended him, hiding her all song hands make dog eyes close list. Asked her a coffee, one from Elf, took it back in a couple of old cash sweet in it, my name with him and sense of sure. We sat coffee there, and as became Anna as the laughing went in. Of a soak, her eye and she loved my apartment and could hear the bulls spinning ahead. "You showered in an hour ago, I still smell so, and you just done in your coat. For a thing." I coughed, neither firm nor denied. "You were the bill when it blip," said. "Ad, I'm good, but I know about a thing for me." So, she glad with a couple of old cash sweet in it, my name with him and sense of sure. We sat coffee there, as became Anna as the laughing went in. Of a soak, her eye and she loved my apartment and could hear the bulls spinning ahead. "You showered in an hour ago, I told. But if you think your has been thick enough, I might, and me, I could hear the wheels spinning in her head.